Good morning, folks. Welcome back once again to Drive Time Friday. I say that because it is Friday morning, and we are here to talk about all of the, I guess I'd have to say in general, really nasty, to some extent almost unbelievable, at least unbelievable if you grew up in a nation that still believed in the rule of law, stuff that's been going on over the last week or so. I don't have Tim Kern, haven't been able to get a hold of Tim this morning, so I'm assuming he's incommunicado for some reason, and he has been that way a lot lately, as you know. But we do have Jeff Gilbert, who's a lot further south and probably out of range of at least some of the fireworks that are likely to happen here soon. So let me say good morning, Jeff. How you doing? And let's talk about what the heck is going on. I'm trying to keep it as...
I am doing great, man. I'm doing better than Jeff Bezos, right? I mean, but then again, he's doing better than me. He just had to pay $35 billion in a divorce, and I bet he won't lose a moment of sleep over it.
Oh, poor guy. He's probably only got more left than the, well, most Americans combined will have in their complete lives. But yeah. when you're a crook and when you do things that are absolutely anti-constitutional, I guess the satanic rewards pile up, and it's hard not to observe that.
Oh, by the way, before we get off into the heavy stuff, did you hear Mark that they have found a four-legged whale fossil?
No, I hadn't heard that.
I just thought it was interesting. A four-legged whale fossil. I could just see these things walking around on the earth. But apparently they did walk on land, apparently. I mean, it's fossils. I mean, so you can only get so much information out of it. But they had hooves and everything.
Hooved, four-legged, okay, well, there you go.
Hooved, four-legged whale. Who would have thought it?
Maybe that's what took Jonah.
Maybe so, man, maybe so. Walked into Nineveh.
Okay, well, you know, when you're talking about stuff like that, Jeff, all I can picture is an old cartoon from... The Far Side, where, and they actually had a display of this at the Denver Museum of Natural History years ago, where he has a cartoon entitled How It Is That, you know, the Sea Creatures Really Came Up on the Land, and there's a picture of some goldfish playing baseball, and there's a ball up on the shore, and they're all looking at it like, now how are we going to go get that?
Personally, as far as Far Side goes, anytime somebody mentions Far Side, the very first thing I remember in vivid detail is the Boneless Chicken Ranch.
Oh, yes. Okay, well, I remember that. Well, there's a whole bunch more. I guess we don't want to go there or we won't get to...
Little puddles of chicken all over the place. But, yeah, let's move on to some news.
Okay, so let me start here. There are so many places we could start, but I think this one is continuing to fester. Here we go. The border crisis is real, said a piece earlier in the week. Let's do it chronologically. Texas cities are now overwhelmed. Tens of thousands of invading migrants. Meanwhile, the socialists and their partners in the mainstream media, or you could say the Ministry of Truth if you've read 1984, continue to deny that there is a problem. Meanwhile, however, immigration at the U.S. border, illegal, of course, could more than double from current rates in the next 3 months alone, as Trump has caved yet again, postponed action on the issue for a year. Maybe that was part of the deal in order to get the socialists to back off from saying we're going to kill him if we can't impeach him. You know, there's so much stuff that's obviously going on behind the scenes that it's really kind of hard to know who's on which team anymore. But Trump has backed away from previous threats. He'd shut down the border, says Mexico take a year to do what you should have done a long time ago. Meanwhile, you've got all kinds of researchers saying the crisis is at unprecedented levels. We might have a half a million over the next 3 months or more as a result of the new incentives. Now, remember, if people can get in, they get to stay in, basically indefinitely. I saw a story, this is that earlier story. McAllen, Texas is getting over 800, that's current rates, over 800 asylum seekers who've crossed the border illegally per day. Do the math. That's one city a year in a small Texas town. Well, no longer small. It's basically no longer Texas either. We've never seen anything like this before, say the border officials. And again, for the most part, the press is just saying, come on in. the more we do these perverse incentives, the more people figure, hey, how are they going to stop us? And the more invaders we get. And remember, if just a fraction of 1% of these, and you know it's more than that, are MS-13 or ISIS or other terrorists, that's enough sleeper cells to basically destroy a whole lot of stuff real soon. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, you know, it stinks that we have extremists, and we have extremists that come into the country, whether they come in through the border or otherwise, that threaten
or what they sit on the floor of Congress. That's where the real problem is. They've infiltrated that.
Well, that's just it. Congress, the government system, and this is where I was actually taking it, the government level of our society has basically lost touch with what society wants, and they are basically trying to water down society so that they can get on with their economic agenda, because economics is more important than society, because the individual companies that are now entities and real humans have more rights than you and I. So that's what I think is all happening. And what's going on with this mass infiltration from the north and the south is because people still think we're a better place to live than where they're living. And that means that the other places around us must be pretty bad if they're still trying to get to America. So there are things that should be, you know, looked at as happy. You know, there's good things in America. People still think it's good to come here. But the extremists that are hidden in amongst them, I don't think those are nearly as dangerous as extremists in politics and the government that are trying to basically undermine society so that we can fall under their idea of what society is, which is all economic.
Well, it's not all economic. They like the idea of killing a whole bunch of people, too. If you remember the various socialist manifestos, there you go, saying that they need to kill 6, maybe 7 billion people in order to get the world down to a sustainable population. So how are we going to do that? Well, got lots of ways of doing it. There's always good old famine and war, and let's not forget we have 5G on the table, along with things like GMOs and so forth. So it's not only economics. They do want to be able to not only fly their jets, but fly them into a completely vacant Yellowstone and Grand Canyon once they get rid of everybody. So I guess what really bugs me, Jeff, is there's no hiding anymore. And we have been, over the years, kind of increasingly inclined to use more blunt terminology. This is just plain evil. There's no backing off from the fact that there's no way you can call these people anything other than what they are, which is traitors. As you were talking, I'm remembering the quote from Cicero, who said that the real threat is the enemy within the gates, because the traitor within the gates can open the gates, and that's what we're seeing now, to let all the other traitors come on in. While we're talking about this, I guess I'll mention one other thing. I've now I saw it first from Mike Adams.
Well,
I don't know if it was original with him.
One thing. I don't think the open the gates and let them in is the problem. I think when they basically subvert society and then change society, because, you know, that's how, if you're managing a pond, you let in fresh water in order to flush out all of the, you know, toxins and stuff that build up in stagnant water. So as you introduce fresh water or different fish and things like that, you change the society of the pond. Well, that's what they're doing to the United States. They're changing the society. They're undermining society. That's what's happened in Europe.
Are you talking horse or cart?
I don't think it's right. But the idea of opening the gates and letting them in—who needs to when they basically transplanted society?
It's part and parcel of the same situation again. Horse and cart. You know, once the dam breaks, the flood is at hand, and that's where we're at. The dam has broken. The flood is at hand. And whether it was, you know, the little boy that failed to keep his finger in the dike or what, is kind of water under the, well, water over the dam at this point. So, you know, to the extent that the question remains, what are people going to do about it now? That's where I was headed briefly. I started to say Mike Adams is the first one I saw this. When I read it immediately, I thought, gee, yeah, this should have been obvious a long time ago. The only trouble is I don't think Trump has the chutzpah to do it. But there is a constitutional solution to this. He has failed at exercising his promise to shut down the illegal immigration at the border, and it has done nothing except literally explode. So the next step ought to be, go back and read that Constitution thing. Article 1, Section 8, there's a clause that talks about how the Congress has the power to provide for calling forth the militia. Now, can you imagine this Congress doing that? to execute the laws of the nation, the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. Now, the Congress has actually already allocated to the president a legitimate authority to say, look, when it's a complete invasion, we don't have time to get Congress together, he can go ahead and do it. So it would be really interesting, in other words, to see the president get on national TV or just tweet. That's more likely to be allowed to happen before they shut him down. And say, you know what? We got a whole lot of people along that southern border, ranchers, farmers, those who have been told you cannot defend yourself. And go out and defend yourself. Other people, you want to come down and help? This is where he calls out the militia to the southern border and says, suppress the invasion. And here's what would be really interesting, Jeff. Would there likely be bloodshed? You betcha. Is there going to be bloodshed anyway? Who are we kidding? This is the intent, is a whole lot of bloodshed. Let it be done now at the border rather than when they are embedded in sleeper cells in every single major city across the country. So the other thing that would have happened, of course, is were that to occur, there'd be some shrieking from the liberal left like we've probably never heard. And we thought Trump derangement syndrome was bad. Just wait. But it would also be one of the best things that could possibly be done in terms of pointing out, you know what? There's a reason why the Second Amendment and this clause in Article 1, Section 8 were put in place, and we're seeing it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Honestly, I don't know. The United States Constitution does have the right to allow for this to happen. It will be viewed as horrific.
It's a mandate, and, if you think about it. What is the point of a military other than to repel invasions of the sovereign nation that once at least understood what it was supposed to be doing?
Well, when you get right down to it, going back to my idea of compartmentalizing this within a societal context, it is the military's job to maintain society in its current desired form.
Hey, what?
And
no.
What's happening is the United States government and its military are focusing on democracy in other parts of the world and not doing anything to maintain our society here.
Well, I don't know that I would agree with that. They're not supposed to maintain society. They're supposed to defend the nation, and they're not doing any of that. But when it comes to
I would argue that their purpose for defending America is that term America is a societal term identifying goals and ambitions that are unique to our people.
In other words, things that were once held to be self-evident truths,
yes.
Life, liberty, and property, and the unifying
that
concept that made people American. But that's how, that's what's been destroyed. And of course,
and that's what the Constitution's job was, is to maintain a societal presence based upon the goals and desires of the founding fathers.
All right. Well, let's not, we could pick nits on that score. I wouldn't phrase it the same way, but okay. The point is, I do think it would be interesting to see the president actually do two things. A, refer to the Constitution, actually read some of it to Americans that have never bothered to pick it up. And then, two, point out that there was a reason why a militia, which is not the National Guard, and I spent some time talking about that on a show earlier this week, should be doing its duty. And constitutionally, the Congress has a duty. Of course, given that it's full of traitors, that's not going to happen.
I was actually thinking about your National Guard comment. I wasn't trying to be just the devil's advocate today. It was just I almost think that the militia is quite effectively demonstrated in the National Guard, and that our international army is what is the problem within our Constitution.
Well, I'm not saying the National Guard is anti-constitutional, mind you. What I am saying is, and I could quote founder after founder who said, what is the militia? It is the whole people. By statute, prior to the National Guard, all of these things were true. And in fact, able-bodied males age 17 up through 45, all part of the unorganized militia. Arguably, the National Guard is an organized militia, but it still does not negate the fact that Americans, by having a right to keep and bear arms, and that includes all of them at this point because it shall not be infringed, are, they're not antithetical to the idea of a militia and actually using that militia to repel invasions. We're either going to have to fight them at the doorsteps of individual houses once this thing goes full head where it's headed, or it can be done now. And if it's not done now, I guarantee you it'll be done later. But it might not be nearly as, well, let's just put it this way. If we thought it would be ugly to go to the border and do it, just wait what they've got planned. All right, I'm going to throw one other story out, Jeff, because I think when it comes to bloodshed, you have to point out probably one of the most insidious things. It's been going on for a while, and unfortunately, this is a place where I am not a fan of the president because he's never bothered to read the words "shall not be infringed" either. You remember the various false flags and the so-called red flag orders. Now, this is a pretty clever, insidious, satanically evil idea. It says, hey, remember how the Soviets did it? This was what Stalin used. They would say, you know, Joe Blow is a nut. Why? Because he's not a member of the Communist Party. He doesn't support the almighty state. So he must be a nutcase. So he needs to be, well, put into a gulag, shipped off to Siberia. Oh, and of course, you know, he wouldn't have been allowed to own guns anyway. But let's just break down his door at 4 a.m. because we've declared him to be insane. Now, what the United States has done is say, hey, that's a great way to get rid of people's firearms. We'll declare anybody that doesn't toe the statist line, that isn't, you know, fit to sit on the floor of Congress and vote with Ilhan Omar, to be a nutcase, therefore a red flag. We'll issue a protection order. We'll go steal their stuff, starting with that which shall not be infringed. So we've had red flag order after red flag order. Florida fell victim to that particularly red organization. And this week, in Colorado, you had a single vote majority in the Senate passed a red flag. They call it ERPOs, Emergency Risk Protection Orders. Achtung, we don't need no stinking due process. And that's what Trump came out and said, we'll worry about due process later. We're not going to worry about the Second Amendment at all. We'll worry about due process later. So they're going to steal people's guns. And if they're lucky, they can go to court, beg, pretty please, I'm not as nutty as you think I am, other than the fact that I want a gun, which makes me a nut by definition. And therefore, well, I can't have them? No, because if you want them, it means you don't deserve them. Anyway, Colorado fell victim to that. That's, I think they're the number 15 or 16. You've got nutcases that call themselves Republicans, like Marco Rubio and, you know, South Carolina, the South Carolina scumbag, Lindsey Graham, all saying, oh, yeah, we don't see a problem with this. And what it is a violation of the, well, due process clause, the concept of property ownership clause, Second Amendment, obviously, all kinds of things, trial by jury, you name it. This is probably, in one single anti-constitutional measure, the most violative of the various provisions in the Constitution of any law I can think of in my lifetime, Jeff. And Colorado's just the latest to do it. The point, of course, is that they already killed a fellow in Maryland when they came to take his guns without warning. And they're fixing to do this now nationwide. And Colorado, 50 out of the 62 sheriffs in the state have already said, we will not support this unconstitutional thing. So at least you have some good law enforcement that's standing up to the socialists and saying, are you kidding me? We can read the Constitution. We took an oath before God. We're not going to do this. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm looking for one of my articles I have up that could play well off of this. And for some reason, I can't find which one it was. Dang it.
Well, give me a hint.
Oh, man. I'm almost done looking through my list. Hang on. I'm just going to real quick. And here it is. The very last one on my list. Okay. Not U.S. politics. This is actually in Europe. But I think you might get a kick out of it. Support is growing for a referendum on whether to ban large landlords from German capital and turn their property into social housing stock. Basically, calling for the privatization of rental properties to be managed by the government.
Privatization? It's hardly privatization.
Stolen or taken from their rightful owners and nationalized so that the government can hand out. Well, that's true. But I thought you'd find it really interesting. It's basically in Berlin, this has become a major political push now that you're going to see a socialization of the housing market by mandate by the government. And this is something that I think the United States is quite literally going to have to do.
Well, if you ask the question,
we're going to see this news in the United States within the next couple of years.
You've seen it in New York City already, with essentially some of their anti-landlord resolutions and what do they call it? You get to live here forever, and the landlord can't raise the rent because we own the property, even though he thinks he does and pays the taxes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
But the trick is, and you saw it in New York.
Rent control housing.
Rent control. You have to essentially first disarm people. You start with the thing that shall not be infringed. And then once they're defenseless and their vote doesn't mean squat because your vote is the only one that matters and you're the only one that's above the law, right, Hitlery and Jussie, then you can go take everything else. And that's what history has shown over and over again.
Right.
Europe has been disarmed for a long, long time. Adolf did it, and they never really got the right back. It never was a right. It was just a privilege.
Once you defang the wolves, all you have is sheep.
Either that, or you have a bunch of wolves that decide they're gonna, having been backed into a corner, fight with everything they've got. Back to the red flags briefly. There was a Colorado sheriff. Now this is Weld County, as you know, not too far from where we used to hang. Good sheriff there, Steve Reams. Is among that 50 that has said, hell no, we won't enforce this abomination.
Yeah.
He says that not only will he not enforce it, but if he has to, he'll go to jail in order to, quote, do what's right. And that's what we need, are more sheriffs that actually have read the Constitution and know what their oath is before God and are willing to actually stand for it. Let's do this, Jeff.
Definitely Weld County or places like Weld County would be great for people who are trying to leave the metropolitan lifestyle and move out into the wilderness areas, the Wild West areas. Then definitely Weld County. Find those sheriffs on that list. Those are going to be good places for you to move to.
Weld County is still on the front range.
There are some good places in those areas to move to. Good sheriffs.
Okay, and what you're going to see, and we saw this in places like
true.
Oregon.
Might be a good sheriff, but he's right next to Six Gun territory.
Too close to Boulder and Denver. But in any case, the situation is true nationwide. In Washington and Oregon, you've had more moves, and in Denver, outside of Denver, in the rest of Colorado, you have sanctuary counties saying we will not enforce these unconstitutional rulings. What makes this next civil war different? We've talked about this, is the fact that it's going to be rural versus urban. The city cesspools, essentially, where everybody is crammed together and doesn't know which end is up anyway, versus those who grow the food and own the real land and actually still remember what it means to honor their oaths to one another and to the law. So, and that is the big difference. It's the rural counties in all of these western states that are saying we are not going to participate. We're going to be sanctuaries. We're going to come out of her. Now, back east, of course, there really aren't. There are counties that would claim they're rural, and they're certainly less urban. But given the population density, it's a little bit different deal.
Well, yeah. Anything high population, anything high density humanity is going to be a less than pleasant place to be once things start to transition.
Okay. Well, I want to talk about this one after we come back. Since we're talking about absolute gang rape of the Bill of Rights, now this isn't actually a place where they have a Bill of Rights, but at least Canada is close enough that a few people still think they should understand free speech. If you hadn't heard this, there was a Christian, the guy's name was Bill Whatcott, and he actually dared to produce a flyer and say some negative things out of Scripture about transgenderism. And a so-called tribunal, Octung, has told the guy, we could care less about your freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Hey, remember, Canada never had a Bill of Rights. And he's been fined $55,000 because of his, politically incorrect thoughts.
Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so.
Trouble.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Drive Time Friday with your host, Mark Call, myself, Jeff Gilbert, and with us now, Tim Kern. Hey, man, good to see you. So before we get started on this side, Mark had mentioned something. We're talking about freedom of speech and
or lack thereof.
Yeah, or lack thereof. And I want to throw out something that would be considered possibly an opposing view, just to throw it out before we get started.
Go ahead.
I think free speech is something that everyone should have the right to afford in their life, be able to express themselves. However, just because you have the freedom to express yourself doesn't mean that what you say is covered under a country's free speech laws. Because I think just because
most countries don't have them, Jeff.
Right. But regardless, in those countries that do, and we're talking about U.S. and Canada and so forth, that
obviously
when
not
you
Canada.
Exercise your free speech doesn't mean that what you said was worthy of being said, and what harm that you may have caused by your free speech was victimless. So, you know, I'm not saying that that in this particular news story that there's a right and wrong with the guy who's getting charged. All I'm saying is that free speech as a rule is something that we should fight for without question. But just because somebody says something and it is hurtful doesn't mean that his free speech should be left unchecked.
Okay, okay. No, well, yeah, it does, but you're missing the point, I'm afraid. We have always had laws against libel and slander and bearing false witness and lying under oath and, if you will, yelling fire in a crowded theater or assault, actually threatening somebody, I'm going to kill you and I've got this club and I'm going to beat you over the head. That's speech, but it's also assault. So those things are not free speech. And in fact, you know, we need to make sure we understand the distinction. The problem is we got a whole generation that's been dumbed down. They no longer have any discernment at all.
Right.
But the story is, go ahead.
Right. But in closing, it's this, extreme case law doesn't make for good case law.
Well, the old legal quote is, hard cases make bad law. And what that means is, you will always see the things that push the fringe be the cases that go to the Supreme Court, which allows them to say, hey, we will honor precedent and not the plain words of the Constitution. And that's how we drift away from the place where shall not be infringed means, you know, we'll infringe the living hell out of it. And where Congress shall make no law becomes, oh, yeah, Congress doesn't have to. The Supreme Court will instead. Or a bunch of bogus little guys in black robes will do it.
Well, this is one of the problems. This is Tim.
And hi, Tim.
You know, one of the problems. Good morning from dark and cloudy Georgia. One of the problems that we've always had, and you bring it up, is that the Supreme Court, and I've talked to Supreme Court justices about this, they always go to precedent before they go to law.
Exactly.
And exactly what happens. So instead of having a core law like the hub of a wheel with spokes that allow you to pull that law only so far, what you have is a core law and a bunch of links of chains that don't necessarily go in the same direction. And as many links as you can add, the more things you can make that law mean or not mean. And unless we go to the basic law for every case, every time, and let bad precedents be what they are, bad precedents, we are going to have exactly what you're talking about. We have a nominal constitution, and we have an activist court that writes the law, or that says what the law will be.
Well, and you know,
when we have that, we have this problem. Now, there's a difference between libel and slander, which are non-truths, and merely offensive or merely hurtful speech, which may very well be truth. I may call you an idiot, and you may be an idiot. That should not be prohibited.
As long as I have
the reasons for calling you an idiot, that's fine.
And as an engineer, Tim, I would say, I like to refer to it from my background in electronics. If you don't have a good reference voltage, in other words, if you have a circuit that is allowed to drift pretty soon it'll drift to the point where it no longer works. A sailor can tell you, an analogy would be a boat that's dragging an anchor. If the anchor isn't embedded hard and doesn't take a good grip, that boat might in fact be crashed against the shore. And that's what's happened legally. So here's the story.
They don't even check to see if the anchor chain is in one piece.
Let it cut it, you bet. And, if you've never bothered to read the Constitution and don't know what the anchor is anyway, we got a Congress that shows you what that ends up doing. All right, last week, the so-called British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal fined a Christian man $55,000 for the crime of misgendering. What Cott did was he passed out flyers, and he was essentially quoting scripture and a whole lot of other things. You know, you can read the Bible where it says that a man dressing up as a woman is not to happen, and similar. And this is how insane things have gotten. He included quotes from the dignity of God's creation, male and female, he created them, and so forth. And he was fined $55,000. The so-called tribunal issued a 104-page ruling. Now, what's really funny about this is they basically said, okay, well, you know, we can't make him think things that are against his religion, but we can shut him up from talking about it. And we can't prevent him from, his free speech, in other words, is limited to exactly what we think he ought to be saying and nothing more. Go ahead.
Well, I would ask what the court thinks. Is a wolf in sheep's clothing a wolf or a sheep?
Yeah.
It's simple. Do you have a Y chromosome?
Well, yeah.
If you do, if you got Y, you're a guy. Period. I actually have transgender friends. I call them the name they want to be called. That's fine. Exactly. I don't care if your name is, you know, Bob and now it's Sue. That's okay. You want to be Sue? I don't care. It's your name. Call you what you want. But you're still Bob. you're still a Bob.
Okay.
Well, even if you go through self-mutilation, you're still a boy.
Here's a crude way to summarize it.
But you're still a boy.
The crude way I would summarize it, and apologies for those that say, oh, he's over the top, but wait a minute, folks. Neutering somebody and preventing from speaking is over the top. There are, in fact, real men, and then we got a whole bunch of people that you got your male organ hanging on you. So you have what now passes for men that are with penis and without penis, and the problem is we got a whole bunch of so-called men running around that don't have huevos or cojones.
Well, yeah.
And they're sitting on tribunals and telling people you don't have a right to freedom of speech or anything else.
Okay. So the question I have is what would be the verdict, and what would be the reasoning behind the verdict by this court if instead of him positioning his stance on a religious context, if he was positioning it from something like maybe what Jordan Peterson does. He does it from a social...
No, he did all of those things, evidently. So the point is, yes, the fact that he has a religious perspective just makes them hate him a bit more, and all it does is allow the court to say, oh, and we don't care about your God either. But we have the court does not
care about your God.
It has to deal
in the civil world, in the civil courts.
You're in a civil court. Exactly.
Well, and understand this, guys. We're talking about a Canadian system.
God, you're dealing with, you can get some.
Oh, you broke out completely, Tim. We lost all of that for a second. You were completely silent there. I thought you'd quit talking, but in fact it was your phone connection. Understand though, folks, we are talking about Canada. They do not have a right to freedom of speech in the Bill of Rights. They have some statutory things that the court is basically saying, hey Mark, they're not worth the paper they're printed on. Go ahead, Jeff.
Mark,
we'll see if we get Tim in a better spot.
Mark, real quick. Tim, you're switching towers. Give it a second. You should be solid. We lost most of what you said. And what we did hear, and I'd like you to pick it up if you're strong enough after this, he's traveling, folks, is that the civil court is the issue. I think it's unreasonable to expect a civil court to upload your religious convictions in their trial. I have to agree with what Tim's saying. Go ahead, Tim.
However, time out. What they're saying is you don't have a protected right anyway to your religion. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I'm going to maintain that the civil court, render under Caesar, and if you don't, Caesar's going to get you. And the point is, in God's court, that's fine. You may go to heaven, but you may go to heaven from a prison cell. The point is, you deal with the authority that's in authority at the time and place where you happen to be. And God doesn't say you have to go out and say things just to tick off the government. Now, that said, I think that freedom of speech is a wonderful thing. If we didn't have it, I wouldn't know so many people that otherwise appear normal are really such horrible people. So right. I want to hear what they think right away. I don't care if it offends me. Then I know those are people I don't need to waste time with.
Good point.
All right. Well, again, you guys make a good point, but the idea of a Bill of Rights, at least at one point, was to say Congress shall make no law, in this case, prohibiting the free exercise of religion. And what the Canadian court said, and the ruling comes right out and claims it, you're free to think whatever you want. You're just not free to speak about it at all when it comes to religion. So, yes, it's a civil court, and yes, they don't like the God of the Bible. That's all obvious. But what they have done is to say, well, at least in Canada, there is no such thing as freedom of religion or freedom of speech.
Well, I think they still missed a point. I think that they need to go back and have an official Canadian language dictionary that precisely describes what he, her, his, it, all those kinds of things are in legal terms, not in common terms. And I think you need, if you don't have a precise legal definition, I don't think you should be legally charged.
Right. Well, no, that's a good point as well.
But none of that
Zim
matters.
And Z aren't there, right?
None of that matters. They simply say, hey, here's what we decide today. We're going to take your money because you're a slave. And it really is a lot simpler if you step back and understand it that way. There's one God here, and hint, it's us, not you.
Well, it's their court.
It's their court. It's their land. When they get to heaven, they won't be the authority anymore.
You've read The Red Zone. You know what this is about. It's their court, man.
And that's all you can say about it. It's whoever holds the authority is the one that makes the laws, and you comply or you don't. Now, there's nothing I've read in scriptures that says you have to use such and such a pronoun. But when the guy on the ground says you have to use such and such a pronoun, then you better do it, or you're going to deal with whoever told you to use it. And there isn't, and God isn't going to take sides, because God says, hey, look, you don't follow the laws on the ground, you're an idiot. They're not hurting your religion any. He's not asking you to do something against your religion.
Well, in some cases, it turns out that they might be. But never, let me ask this, Tim. You joined us after we talked about this in the top of the hour. Did you see that the People's Republic of Colorado, led by Boulder and Denver, have now joined the group of anti-constitutional states that say red flag laws, if we feel like taking your stuff, and especially your firearms, we will. And 50 out of 62 sheriffs that have read the Constitution are saying, but we're not going to enforce it, and the hell with your new law?
Well, those 50 out of 62 don't live in Denver and Boulder counties, and they don't want to get shot trying to enforce the law.
Because
it comes down to that, it's the same thing I always say. They can pull on the barrel with both hands. I'll just hold the trigger.
That's really essentially where I was coming from before the break. What Colorado has done is joined an increasing number of states saying, look, we're looking to foment a civil war, and we know that this is going to get a whole lot of people killed, police and formerly free citizens, and we don't give a damn about how much blood is shed. We have a political agenda here.
Well, how many divisions does the devil have, when the local sheriffs aren't going to enforce the law, they don't have anything left except the National Guard. The National Guard hasn't gone on a killing spree since Kent State, and they shot the wrong people. So I'm not too worried about that happening, to tell you the truth.
Interesting. Okay, well, we'll see, I guess.
And if they want to take away the guns in Denver, they're going to have a hard time. There's some pretty bad people in Denver with guns.
Well, and it's the good people that don't have them.
I want to see the video of them going up and down Jefferson trying to collect all the guns.
Yeah, or back East Colfax. I mean, go for it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, let me do this. Since we're kind of there talking about big cesspools, how's this? If you guys didn't see this story, in the People's Republic of Boston in Massachusetts, the DA of so-called Suffolk County, Rachel Rollins, has posted what is called the Rollins Memo. It's a list of no prosecute crimes. And basically what the DA in Boston is doing is saying, hey, here's a green light to go out and commit all kinds of offenses against property. She is now decriminalized.
What are they?
Trespassing, shoplifting, disorderly conduct, wanton and malicious destruction of property. Basically everything up to and including, it would seem, breaking and entering. So, hey, Miss Creech, go out and do it.
So arson, murder, and treason are still illegal, is that it?
Well, no, treason's been legal since it was a former Democrat running for president who decided to do that.
Well, Massachusetts, silly me.
Yeah.
But, we have the same problem in Indiana. The jails are full. We have 5,500 warrants out in our town of 55,000. We have 287 beds in the jail. The lady who runs the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice, I can't remember her name, Chief Justice of Indiana, has said that if it's a first offense, in other words, you're not on parole, which is another condition, and it does not involve murder or treason, you won't even have to post bond. All the bail bonds people, literally all the bail bonds people in Indiana are out of business.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how bad it is. You have so many people you need to arrest, and you've got 5% of the beds in the jail available, and they're full. So unless you kill somebody or commit treason in Indiana, you're not even going to jail.
No, but they're going to
put
everybody
like that?
In the database.
Thing. Are they going to come and take people's guns, though? Does Indiana one of the ones?
No, not. Oh, no, no, the Democrats are trying to, but the Democrats hold like 20 seats out of 100 in the Senate, so that's not going to happen.
Okay, well, so
yeah,
it's...
But once you make them all criminals, then nationally they can take away their guns.
Well, yeah, but that's not the question on the table right now.
Well, we mentioned this, too. Marco Rubio and Lindsey Graham want to do it nationwide.
Well, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It is exactly what's on the table, because instead of addressing the problem of overcrowding by putting people who shouldn't be there in jail, they're going to start washing them through, passing them through, so they can continue to bring in the new stock. And once they have everybody licensed, everybody signed up, everybody processed, then federally they can take away your guns, and federally they can do whatever they want.
So basically in Boston, if you steal somebody's property, you don't go to jail. But on the other hand, if you have a gun that you're not supposed to have because they've decreed that, 10-round mags or whatever the case may be, are verboten, then you do go to jail because you thought you were a free person. So it's kind of upside down if you think about it, guys.
It's way upside down. There's no question of that. And fortunately, I don't even have to think about it because I'm using some of my thought process to stay in between the white lines here.
Right. More important.
Well, let me close, at least as we get ready to get to the top of the hour, with one bit of good news. Jeff probably has some other news he wants to talk about in the last minute or two as well. In Brussels, the home of the EU, the Brussels Times reports that even in Belgium, they can recognize that 5G is deadly. And the environmental minister there has told the rest of the world, the people of Brussels are not guinea pigs whose health I can sell at a profit. So they have basically said no to the 5G pilot programs that would put millimeter wavelength weaponry on the streets that people think is going to let them help download movies faster. At least in Brussels, in other words, there's somebody or other that's paying attention to real science.
Well, I'd love to. I know 5G is bad, 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 but I don't understand why. And perhaps one of these times you could explain to me and everybody else how this works and how the different wavelengths affect organisms. It would be really neat to find out.
Let me give it to you in 30 seconds, because that's about all the time we have. Then we'll go to Jeff. What happens is when you get up to close to 100 gigahertz, that's about 10 times higher than most current cell phone frequencies, maybe 30 times in some cases. But the wavelengths get shorter as the frequency goes up, and the wavelengths that they're talking about for 5G are literally on the order of the pores and similar kinds of things in the human skin, epidermis. There are some other issues as well, but we're getting such small wavelengths that now it actually can break DNA chains, and the little helical antennas in your skin focus the radiation, so you can have all kinds of wonderful side effects that are a whole lot worse than they ever were before, although they were bad before. Cancer, DNA chains, loss of sleep, melatonin interruptions, and of course they can be used, and are, the military uses them for directed energy weapons, aerial active denial systems. So they know that these things are used for weapons, and they're putting them in people's...
And what?
Go ahead.
Okay, and then the follow-up is, why do not angstrom size waves, you know, light, why does not visible light go do the same thing?
Well, because it's many, many, many times smaller still. So it's like any phenomenon. There's a peak. There's a peak frequency that is the mostest deadliest, and basically 5G is finding it.
You know, it's interesting, Tim, that before this generation, such radiation was only a threat from the sun. But in this generation, we've been able to recreate that type of radiation and harness it for our own weaponry against our own people. Isn't that wonderful? Haven't we become such moral people?
Well, the problem, Jeff, is that they're using it for weapons and not telling people, too. That's part of what really irritates me. We don't know the health effects. The hell we don't. We use it, and the military has been developing weaponry using it. So they do know the health effects.
Oh, they know exactly what the health risks are, Mark, because these are the same warnings you get when we have CME outbursts, and these are the things that they say to expect to happen. One of them is that some of these radiations, some of these sparks that come off of the sun, when they hit your body, they can literally change your DNA. And
well, that's what 5G
can have
do.
When we have a low magnetic shielding on the Earth during a large flare or CME event, this is a danger, real danger. And we've harnessed it, and we are now using it as a weapon against our own humanity. I think we have totally lost track of what is reality.
Okay,
but
one quick correction, and that is...
And the last question is, what is the scale difference between a cell tower and the sun in energy?
It's not just energy,
well,
it's frequency, too.
Different radiation.
Understand that the CME or the solar flare and so forth puts out all kinds of wavelengths, including way beyond light, X-rays, cosmic rays, gamma rays, all kinds
right.
of stuff that are, we're talking whole different orders of magnitude, of frequency and energy. So it is apples and oranges. It's more like apples and nuclear flares.
Well, yeah, but
fair enough.
To answer Tim's question, the cell towers are much lower strengths than the weapons are. The cell towers are basically of a smaller magnitude than what we're talking about with the offensive weaponry.
Not always.
Of course, just like the dental tools that, like the ultrasonic dental cleaning tools versus an ultrasonic weapon. There's a huge difference.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, guys, we are out of time for today. Lots of stuff on the table, lots to be aware of. Thanks for being with us, folks. Thanks, guys. Shabbat shalom.